Rushdoony Radio presents Systematic Theology in Two Volumes by Russus John Rushdoony, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation. 15. Systematics and Lordship. The goal of systematics is to declare that God is the Lord. He is King over all creation. Quote, "The Lord is King forever and ever." End quote. Psalm 10:16, quote, "Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever," end quote. Psalm 29:10, quote, "He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved," end quote. Psalm 47:2-4. A faithful systematics declares, quote, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations," end quote. Psalm 145:3-13. With this in mind, let us glance briefly at the life of a churchman and politician, a man very clearly superior to most churchmen and politicians. He is a tither, and a loyal, hard-working church member. He is also a Mason, and his memoirs of life on Capitol Hill indicate no mandate to apply biblical requirements to law, politics, and much else in every man's working life. He can relate President L.B. Johnson's stories about flagrantly illegal voting with the same relish as Johnson, and with no sense of the obscene travesties on the life of the Republic. Moreover, he can cite the words of Queen Juliana of the Netherlands, a blend of deism and modern humanism, and Churchill's Faith in Man, with no apparent sense of their radical contradiction to biblical faith. In all of this, however, he is like millions of other churchmen who feel that a very, quote, simple, end quote, faith is satisfying to God. Of course, the clergy are even worse. Christian scholars and clergymen who should know better have often objected to me, quote, "What's wrong with humanism?" end quote. Many pride themselves on anti-systematic and smorgasbord approaches to religion. None of this is possible where God is indeed God, where his lordship is confessed and applied to the totality of our lives. The goal of any religion, faith, or philosophy is a universal one. If it be true, it must be true for all times and places. Even hedonistic, relativistic humanism calls for the same universalism. Williams, who affirms, quote, "The truth of hedonistic individual relativism," end quote, holds, quote, "If maximum individual long-range satisfaction makes duty for decent people, it does so for rascals also. It does so for all conscious organisms. The principle is universal," end quote. The humanists, who have the sorriest, quote-unquote, grounds for asserting a universal faith, are all the same succeeding because of their consistency of faith, their insistence on their universality of principle. Churchmen are meanwhile faltering and failing because of their lack of any universal application. By their affirmation of the triune God, the churchmen should, more than anyone else, insist on a Catholicity and universality of Christian faith and biblical law. Very early, however, it was precisely this factor which was abandoned. Pierre Boyle, 1647-1706, first a Protestant and then a Catholic, but in essence a Cartesian, actually held that there is no necessary connection between religion and morality, a belief that brought him, in his day, much hostility. Now, more are ready to believe that atheists are not moved to a new ethical premise by their unbelief. Churchmen, too, often reject the idea of necessary connections between ideas and action, faith and life, and principles and things. To reject or underrate such a necessary connection is to deny God, implicitly or explicitly, and to affirm a universe of chance connections. In a Darwinian world, of course, it follows that connections are either products of chance or are man-made. If man-made, then systematics is anthropology. No divine decree is then permitted, because God then becomes the inescapable Lord, not man. The whole point of David's Psalms, as of all Scripture, is that God as creator, preserver, and redeemer is the necessary connection between all things. David can therefore declare, quote, "The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season," end quote. Psalm 145:15. Our Lord declares that God the Lord is the governing and necessary connection in the life and death of a sparrow, and in man's life as well, to the very number of hairs on his head. Matthew 10:29-31. Bomer, in discussing the rise of political absolutism in the modern age, rightly sees absolutism as, quote, "closely identified with the idea of sovereignty," end quote. When sovereignty was transferred from God to the political order, absolute power began to accrue also to the state. We can add further that universality or Catholicity was also necessarily transferred to the state as an aspect of sovereignty. Not surprisingly, this has led to demands for a one-world state. The feebler concept of the medieval church, Catholic and mildly absolutist, has given way to modern totalitarianism. Marxism, fascism, and the democracies each dream of a world state, Catholic or universal, sovereign and absolute. This is the ancient dream of Babylon the Great, of Babel. It will not be answered or dissolved by piecemeal and non-principled opposition. Against the systematics of the humanistic world order, we must declare the systematics of a theology faithful to the triune God and his infallible, inerrant word. The systematics of humanism is in self-contradiction. It is false, destructive of itself and man, and vapid. But if churchmen have no systematics, they cannot counter the reigning evil. They have disarmed themselves. When Paul wrote, quote, "Necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel," end quote, 1 Corinthians 9:16. He meant indeed that his calling from God was an urgent and mandatory one, but he meant far more. Necessity, ananke, that which must or needs be, means the total necessity of God's word and his government. It is inclusive of all reason, determination, and meaning. The totality of God's decree, providence, and calling placed a necessity upon Paul. The necessity is theistic, cosmic, and personal. Today, the determination in necessity is essentially and often exclusively personal. A thing is necessary because we deem it so. Systematic theology must affirm that the Lord God is the necessary cause, connection, will, power, and action in all things. Anything short of that is not theology, but anthropology. Anything short of that must abandon the psalmist to sing praises to man. The power and necessity are then ascribed to man. But David declares, quote, "Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth, sing ye praises with understanding," end quote. Psalm 47:6-7. This is the task of systematic theology, to sing praises to God the Lord with understanding. Well done for listening all the way to the end. This is Nathan, the narrator, speaking to you from Puebla, Mexico, from the Faith for All of Life school, in which I teach English as a volunteer. I teach from kinder through high school. Now, I rely on donations in order to keep teaching and recording, so if you want to support a Faith for All of Life school in Latin America and want to keep listening to Rush Dooney while you vacuum, drive or cook, commute or whatever you're doing right now, donate at cten.org/NathanConkey. That's NathanConkey, all lowercase. Or if you prefer PayPal, paypal.me/NNathan, capital C, Conkey. You can also email me at nfconkey, that's nfconkey@gmail.com. Thanks, and I look forward to speaking to you very soon.